Today on Broadway for Friday, June 23rd, 2017, I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, we're going to do one of these things we've tried once or twice before with today's episode. Those of you that are listening to this between the hours of 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., you are hearing one version of this show. If you are listening to this after 8 a.m., chances are, depending on when you downloaded it, you're hearing a different version. More fairly, it's the same version, just with an extra story added on for embargo purposes. So if you are listening to this and you don't have the embargoed story at the end of this episode, delete this, refresh. Or if you're listening to this before 8 a.m. and you want to hear the embargoed story after 8, delete the episode, refresh in your browser, and download again. Did I get the tech right on that, James? Did I do it properly?
I think you hit the nail on the head. Sure. Or right, they can go directly to BroadwayRadio.com and stream it right from there.
Perfect. That's even easier.
All right. First up, Indecent reverses course and extends. It's like Superman flew around the world in reverse, right?
Oh, that's a great reference. Yes, Lois Lane dies. He flew, reversed the Earth's axis to turn back time. Yes, I love that. It has nothing to do with Indecent, but I love it nonetheless. Yes, James, this is a stunning... stunning story, but one that honestly makes me very, very happy. On Monday's episode, we let you know that Paula Vogel's Indecent was one of three plays that announced closing dates following the Tonys. Six Degrees of Separation closed last Sunday, and Indecent and Sweat were scheduled to shutter this Sunday. However, in an interview, producer Daryl Roth said that the support that the show has gotten since announcing its closing date, including some nights where so many tickets were sold that there were only standing room only spots available, that has encouraged them to give the play an extra 6 weeks on Broadway. It will now run through August 6th at the Court Theater. James, I was trying to think when something like this has happened before. I couldn't think of anything that was directly like it. Obviously, we had The Humans last year that announced closing, then announced it was coming back, but there was a delay and a theater change. I can't think of anything like this that was, hey, we're closing a week later. Just kidding, we're staying open. So this is very unusual. Can you think of one?
Oh, I feel like the original Cats production, when they announced the closing, they extended a bunch of times after the closing. And I don't think it's as rare, but I think that it was such a shock that such a widely respected play like Indecent was going to shutter so quickly after the Tonys. But yeah. I this is a Felicia question. We're going to have to pose this to him.
I'm sure you'll talk about it on This Week on Broadway. Obviously, not necessarily helping your point by talking about the original Cats production closing when we just found out that the revival is closing. So not the most time-appropriate reference, but I'll give you a pass on that since you are not Peter Felicia. But in the week following the closing announcement, James, the show saw a week-to-week grosses increase of over $100,000, even though that still kept him under $378,000. However, Roth reportedly has said that ticket sales are currently on track to double recent gross totals, which is fantastic. The show, as most people know, tells the story of Sholem Ash's Yiddish play God of Vengeance and the obscenity charges that it elicited in the early 20th century. It had a wildly successful run off Broadway at the Vineyard Theater before moving to the Court, which is probably a theater that's slightly too big for a play of this kind. However, it is there nonetheless and will be there through August. The show did go on to win two Tony Awards, most notably for Rebecca Taichman's direction. James, I have not seen Indecent, obviously, and I don't know anyone involved with the production. But this move, while I was typing this up, because it just came out a few minutes before I started writing the script, this move has me oddly emotional, and I don't know why.
You know, I think of Indecent as being very much political theater. And I think that it's a really important story to be talking about right now. And it's such a dramatic thing. I'm hoping that, like, you know, maybe a Broadway HD or somebody comes in and records Indecent for a commercial release. I think it's so important, and it's such an impressive production. And also, parallel to this, I totally had forgotten that Daryl Roth was the producer of Indecent. What must happen at the Roth dinner table?
We're, I mean, between her and her son Jordan and her husband Stephen, we're not gonna get into that.
Her husband Stephen, which is it's a very important thing. The Roth family are some of the one of the richest families on this earth, and Daryl and Jordan are very much progressive liberals, and Stephen Roth, the Daryl Roth's husband, is one of the largest proponents and financial supporters of Donald Trump. And it just with this American Health Care Act vote coming up is really important for us to keep this cognizant. I don't know if we can get Stephen to, you know, bring sanity to this presidency, but I don't know. All right. So
that's pushing a boulder up a hill there, James.
And we're getting from indecent to the Roths to another political play. So the critics have their say in 1984 as it opens on Broadway.
Yeah, James, this show, which had a previous wildly successful 3-year run in the UK, is officially now open at the Hudson Theater on Broadway. Robert Icky and Duncan McMillan have adapted the classic George Orwell novel into a stage production that not only is incredibly powerful on the page, but also it uses a lot of video projections and special effects. The show stars Tom Sturridge, Olivia Wilde in her Broadway debut, Antony Award winner Reed Birney. It's a show that has, as we talked about, between the reports of people breaking noses on stage and people passing out in the audience, and then yesterday's announcement that no one under the age of 13 is allowed in, it's gotten some interesting word of mouth, some interesting talking points. But James, I've got to be honest with you. I did not expect the reviews to be as good as they seemingly are at this point. We don't have all of the reviews in because we're recording now at about 9:15, and the New York Times and others don't usually post until closer to 10 o'clock. But the reviews are really strong, starting with Adam Feldman of Time Out in New York, who gave the show 4 out of 5 stars. He wrote, quote, "When was the last time you felt scared at the theater? Not disturbed or perturbed or provoked, but scared. The harrowing climactic torture scene of 1984, adapted from George Orwell's novel by the directors Robert Icky and Duncan McMillan, is intense in a way I've never seen on Broadway. It's gut churning." He continues, "This gripping show rewards watching, though, and not just in that visit to room 101 at the grotesquely named Ministry of Love." Jeremy Gerard of Deadline also praises the show, writing that its successes are thanks to the great set and video by Chloe Lamford and Tim Reed, as well as the cast. He writes, quote, "Sturridge has a jittery, piercing appeal as a man who believes his innermost fear is undiscoverable, only to learn otherwise in the show's most horrific scene. Wilde has a contained abandon that emphasizes Julia's revolutionary urges without caricature. And Birney proves, once again, to be a master of emotional concealment that works to expose." Matt Windman of AM New York seemingly agrees, saying, quote, "Running about 101 minutes in a nod to room 101, this visceral and unpredictable staging is more exciting and effective than this summer's other politically oriented production, including Robert Shankin's prison drama Building the Wall and the Public Theater's uneasily Trump-infused Julius Caesar." James, so far, interestingly enough, the only reviews that aren't thoroughly positive are from the outlets that do not predominantly cover theater, like Entertainment Weekly and Vulture. They kind of do pop culture and a little theater on the side. Obviously, we'll have to wait to hear from the paper of record. But I have to say, I'm a bit surprised by how positive these are.
So we'll have to see what the other major outlets weigh in on, how Michael and Peter see this. I will eventually see it as well. Good reviews. Good reviews are great. Is it generating any word of mouth? I don't know. Is it gonna do some grosses? What were the grosses like this week? I don't recall.
They weren't great. They were. I'll pull them up here for you real quick. But it was down towards the bottom quarter of the grosses. Last week, it was third from the bottom, pulling in just $301,461. Now, again, as we've noted before, Scott Rudin shows in previews especially the plays, thinking of, you know, Doll's House Part 2, generally seem to ramp up as time goes on. That total was its largest gross intake during its preview period. So it's moving in the right direction for the most part, but, you know, not setting the world on fire, that's for sure.
All right. First up was Indecent, a political story. Second up was 1984, a political story. Third up, Ryan Murphy reportedly to bring Boys in the Band to Broadway. That's a political story.
And in a very different way than
all different,
two?
Yeah, all different, you know, points of coverage of American culture.
Absolutely. Last night, Michael Riedel of the New York Post reported that one of TV's most important and influential producers, Ryan Murphy, has optioned the Broadway rights for a 50th anniversary production of Mark Crowley's play, The Boys and the Band. The show, which debuted in 1968, is aiming for Broadway next spring. The Boys and the Band, which takes place pre-Stonewall, centers on a group of gay men who, as Riedel puts it, quote, gather for a birthday party and some deliciously bitchy banter. That's saying something coming from Riedel. The play ran for over 1,000 performances off-Broadway and spawned a 1970 film which starred the original off-Broadway cast. That original run earned actor Cliff Gorman a 1968 Obie Award for Distinguished Performance. Riedel says that according to insiders, and here's where it gets interesting, James, that Jim Parsons and Neil Patrick Harris are in talks to play Emery and Michael, respectively, in the show. You'll remember that Murphy directed Parsons in HBO's Emmy-winning The Normal Heart, and NPH has guest starred on multiple Murphy-produced TV shows, including Glee and American Horror Story. James, if Jim Parsons and Neil Patrick Harris do a play together on Broadway, I think that there might be some new ticket price records set for a straight play, although that term straight play might not be super accurate in this case.
So... yeah, Boys in the Band with that cast, I think that'll be a hard ticket to get as well. I wonder with that cast if it'll be limited run.
I would think it would have to.
All right, so the first three stories were very deep and affecting to the cultural norms of everything that we hold near and dear.
And it's then, building up to the most important story of the day.
The most important story.
Yes.
Original stars set to return for the Mamma Mia sequel.
Yes, Entertainment Tonight Online is reporting that not only will Dominic Cooper return for the movie musical sequel, but so will Meryl Streep, Colin Firth, and Pierce Brosnan. We already knew that Amanda Seyfried would be returning. I know, Pierce Brosnan, I can't get enough of him singing. The sequel, as we have stated before, is scheduled to hit theaters on July 20th of 2018. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, the movie musical that nobody knew they wanted, but absolutely they do. Interestingly enough, at a press junket for his AMC comic book based TV show Preacher, Cooper said that he was shocked that it took this long to get a movie sequel together for Mamma Mia. And I think a lot of people assume that because this has been talked about for a long time. I do want to throw in, though, James, we're recording, obviously, on Thursday night. Later tonight, early into Friday morning, Dominic Cooper is going to be a guest on the James Corden show. If you'll remember, James Corden and Dominic Cooper starred together both in London and on Broadway in The History Boys. They are former roommates or flatmates, if you will. They are best friends. And apparently on last night's show, they wrestled with Seth Rogen as the referee. So check that out. I love Dominic Cooper. Also played the young Howard Stark in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's great on Preacher. I never saw the Mamma Mia movie originally, but hey, man, I like Dominic Cooper. I like all those people, so I'm all for it.
You know, Pierce Brosnan couldn't get the G and EGOT if he were playing Wheel of Fortune.
How long have you been sitting on that joke?
About a minute and a half now.
Nice. Right. James, I'm going to throw something in here that's not on the rundown. Saw it come through on Twitter while we were recording. Apparently, this is according to Lin-Manuel Miranda's Twitter feed. Apparently, the man, the myth, the legend, Lin-Manuel Miranda will be getting yet another honor to go along with all of the awards that he's racked up through across his career. He will be getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Ooh. So congratulations to Lin-Manuel Miranda. Apparently, also announced today, Weird Al Yankovic getting one as well. So I think that's oddly appropriate. So Lin and Weird Al, I don't know if their ceremonies will be on the same day, but I kind of hope they are.
Very interesting. Let's throw this in as well, because it's been a topic that's been around the theatrical journalism community for a bunch of days. Chicago Tribune is now reporting that some theaters will no longer invite the Chicago Sun-Times critic Hedy Weiss to openings. There's been an issue with Hedy Weiss, who's been the Chicago Sun-Times critic for 20-some-odd years, 25, 30 years or so. There's been charges that she's been unfair and making reviews of shows that should not be reviewed and having inflammatory comments of racial nature and other slurs as well. But, you know, as far as I can tell, Hedy hasn't come out and defended herself, as far as I can tell, with the Sun-Times. But news tonight from the Chicago Tribune saying that Hedy Weiss is not going to be invited anymore. So that's interesting as well.
It is.
All right. So now is going to come the next story, which if you are listening to this after 8 a.m., you might get the whole story. If you downloaded this podcast after 8 a.m., you'll get the whole story. If you downloaded this podcast before 8 a.m., we're going to go right to the closing. So, all right. So I think we've done our public service announcement for the day. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Some Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for ending up your week with us. It's Friday, so enjoy the weekend. Peter Felicia, Michael Portantier, and I will be on Sunday on This Week on Broadway, and Matt and I will be back on Monday. We'll talk to you then.